This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now on the Byers Barricades hotline. Mavericks guard and one of the standouts from last night's game, Trey Burke. Good afternoon and congrats on the victory, sir.
I appreciate it. How you doing?
We're good, man. We are good. I'm always curious, especially for people that can be lights out shooters, at what point in the game are you, or maybe before the game, are you like, oh, I'm feeling it tonight. This is going to be a good one.
I think it kind of starts with your preparation in the morning, really. So you try to, you know, get in a peaceful state throughout the entire day. You know, it's a lot going on and a lot that goes into game day. So you try to kind of just relax, not take it too serious. At the same time, be as focused as you can on, you know, what needs to be done game plan wise and then how you can attack. So it's a world of things that goes on game day. So I kind of yesterday, you know, you let the game come to you. I think everybody kind of lets the game come to them and, you know, takes what the defense gives them. You know, you see that first couple shots go in, you always feel like it's going to be a big night regardless of who you are. So and at the same time, it was a much-needed win for us, so that was the most important part.
Trey, you talk about the first couple shots going in, and I know that you have a tough job coming off and being instant offense in the NBA. What happens the other way? Because, you know, we'll hear Derek Harper on the broadcast or other NBA players talk about the confidence of shooting the ball. You have to keep that confidence. What about the opposite way when the ball's not going in those first few shots?
Yeah, You just have to try to keep a short-term memory. I think for, you know, all positive plays, you try to remember all positive plays throughout the game because you want to build off of, you know, plays that go your way. You want to use that as fuel and motivation to, you know, keep making, you know, good plays, rather if it's on offense or defense. But, you know, like you said, sometimes the flow of games are different. Sometimes you might get a couple shots that you normally hit and you might miss. A couple bunnies you might miss. You might get to the rim and not get that call that you probably deserved. And how do you bounce back? I think that's something that goes a long way with players, you know, just having a short-term memory, being able to kind of get over the last play or the last mistake, I should say, and figuring out how to move to the next play and kind of forget about that. It's easier said than done, but it's not a game of perfection, you know, and the game's going so fast, you have to figure out a way to, you know, make your mind that sharp.
If you get to the rim and do get the call, though, it's required that you yell out and one, right?
Right. That's definitely a requirement. You definitely got to call the and one out.
Is everything a shooting competition throughout the day for you? Like, you're like, you know what, rolling up socks, they're going in the basket, but I got to shoot it from across the room? Or is it, like, even when you get into the locker room, are you having little shooting competitions in your mind?
Well, yes and no. You know, I think everybody's process and preparation is different. I'm a big visualization guy, so I use all type of different techniques, to be honest. You know, I play 2K. In my season with the Mavs and, you know, play against the team that we're about to play against. I try to visualize that way. You know, you always get to see the actual court you're about to go on when you play, you know, games like 2K. It's so advanced now, so much technology we have now, so many different creative ways we can, you know, really go in our mind and kind of trick our subconscious, you know, and I try to really play on that a lot. Because you really do get the full experience. You get to really see the actual arena you're going to go in. I always ask the equipment manager what color jerseys we're going to wear. They got all our jerseys on the game. And you want to just kind of start to imprint the pictures that you want to see, you know, in your mind. You want to start to kind of, you know, start visualize those pictures, those images, you know, those videos you want to see, you know, and before they actually happen. And this is kind of the information that's been here long before me. I actually learned some of these techniques from A few of my mentors, Michael Jordan, talk about it. A lot of the greats, I feel like, figured out how to, you know, use their mind over matter. And that's something that I'm still, it's a journey for me that I'm still trying to get better and better at.
Trey, it seems like you've really found your role in the NBA on this Dallas Maverick team. I know this is kind of a big question because it goes over a 2-3 year span. You were on the Mavericks, yep. Not on the Mavericks, with New York, obviously traded here, with Philadelphia, not on Philadelphia. Over the last few years, how challenging has it been to find your role in the NBA? And it seems like you have on the Dallas Mavericks. And who do you give credit to besides your work ethic there?
That's a great question. First and foremost, I give credit always to God himself. You know, I know I'm a big, or if you know me, I'm a big guy on faith. I spoke on it a lot about faith in the bubble, you know, a lot of the big games that I had, just trusting in the unseen and believing in something, you know, greater than me. My parents as well. I have a mentor named Anthony Rodman. All of my trainers back at home. It's too many to name. But, as well as the coaching staff and my teammates. They trust me every time I go out there on the court. Like you said, I bounced around the league a few times, and, you know, everybody's journey is different. You know, some guys get in the NBA and they stick with that team that, you know, first believed in them, and they stick with them throughout their whole career. You know, some guys, you know, it takes longer to find, like you said, that niche, and I've kind of embraced that's been my journey. I think that's why a lot of people are attracted to my story as well, just because I never gave up. I played in the G League as a lottery pick. You know, these are things that I never really thought would happen coming in the league. But I feel like I found what I'm special at and where I really have true value at, and that's being able to playmate, regardless of if it's scoring or creating for the team in general, being able to break down defenses. And sometimes you have to just play basketball. We got a lot of X's and O's, a lot of plays that's called. And, you know, as you know, once you get to playoff basketball, those players are scouted at a high level. You have to be able to make plays as players. And I think I'm one of those guys who can, you know, really create. You know, sometimes when there's nothing there, and I think the Mavs really value that, and they wanted to bring me back and keep growing with me. I really appreciated it. Coach Carlisle knows that I trust him. He has my trust. And I really see this as a long-term destination for me. I have family in Texas. You know, we made a little bit of noise in the bubble last year. You know, KP went down. We really felt like we could have won that series with him. But hopefully this year, if we're full strength, we can make a real run at a title. And I think that's our number one goal. But we, you know, everyone talks about titles and, you know, it's easier said than done, but I think we got the pieces here to actually compete for one. And I'm excited to be a Maverick.
What is the pressure that goes along with some of those expectations then? Because like you said, maybe if KP was there, the series last year could have been different. You have a great NBA player, top of the heap in Luka. But there are expectations that come along with that, and now people expect more. They expect, you know, playoff advancements. They expect this. They expect that. How do you balance some of those expectations?
It's an everyday responsibility for the players to be able to control what they let in and let in their mind. Kind of like what I talked about earlier. We have a big responsibility, especially with social media and all the access that people have to us nowadays that they may not have had back in the 80s and the 90s, you know. So we have a responsibility as well to be able to control and have enough discipline to look at and accept what it is we want to look at and accept. And it's kind of as simple as that. You know, we can be on social media all day looking at opinions from others and, you know what I mean? Or we can be watching film, or we can be doing something more productive, seeing what San Antonio is going to do tomorrow. I've been a victim of both, to be honest. I think in this league, you got to go through those phases where, you know, you're young-minded. You want to see what everyone's saying about you. You want to see where everyone's critiquing you at. But I think that can become a distraction. So I think we have a team full of mature guys who, you know, can kind of share their testimonies, their experiences with some of the younger guys on how to, you know, stay locked in, control what you can control on the court and definitely when you're away from the court. Really, really guard your mind. I think that's something that's precious to us, is our mind and what we allow in, because whether we believe it or not, we got to go out there and perform. We got to go out there and represent this organization the way it wants to be represented. So I think all of that plays a huge part on how we perform.
Mavs guard Trey Burke on with us on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, just killing it right now too, man. And I saw I saw Willie Cauley-Stein got the defensive player belt last night. And my question, how did that come about? And when are you going to get it? Like, when are you going to get that belt?
I was a little jealous yesterday, man, because they brung it out like a week ago. That was the first game they presented it to someone. I put it like that. So okay. Willie was actually the first winner of it. But it's something that's fun and challenging because, you know, everyone wants to have a great offensive game. That's a given. But defensively, that's where we know we're going to really make noise in this league. That's the end of the court that we're trying to buy into individually and collectively. So once Coach showed us the belt, first and foremost, the belt was cold to everybody. Like, everybody saw the belt. They wanted it just to have it.
Yeah.
Because it was a nice-looking belt. So that was first. And then yesterday, I think after the game, I think everyone kind of forgot about the belt. You know what I mean? And they brung it out, you know, kind of shocked us again. Because they showed us when we was in Dallas. But they brung it back out yesterday. And everybody was like, oh, well, who's going to get it? Everybody was kind of excited to see who's going to get it. And they gave it to Willie. But he deserved it, man. He deserved it. He was down on himself a little bit about some of the bunnies. I think he missed like two oops yesterday on offense, but you know, he kind of forgot about all of that once they presented him that, and you know, we was proud of him just because it was a win. They don't present it to no one in losses, so obviously, anytime someone gets presented it, you know, everyone won that night. So that's how we look at it.
Man, I was just about to ask if it only gets handed out after a win.
It's only after wins. They ain't give it. They don't care after loss.
All right. Nope. Is there anything we can do to hype you up now so that you win the belt, the team wins more games, and then we just get you right back and we can get this flow going to help spark the team?
Honestly, man, I already got enough motivation to try to get that belt, man. I saw all the love Willie got yesterday with the, you know, from the cameras, and just the response you get from the team, from any player that gets it. You know, you want that feeling. I put it like that. So I got enough motivation to go out there and get it. I try to pride myself. I started it in the bubble. I tried to pride myself of picking up 94 feet and really bothering the other team's guard. So it's not an easy reward. We got a lot of good defensive players on this team. I'm a smaller guy, so I know I'm going to have to probably get 5-6 steals or something like that and really change the game. I think I had a couple of those games in the playoffs, but, you know, that was then. You know what I mean? They looking for it now, so I'm going to try to get one tomorrow. You know what I mean? So, you know, hopefully I do.
Trey, last thing from me is last night you guys had a great offensive game. And I know we've been talking about defense, but it seems like recently a lot of teams are trying to double Luka once he gets across half court and make the other guys beat him. How important is it for you, Tim Hardaway, the rest of the team, but to have really nice offensive games when teams decide to just take the ball out of Luka's hand so then Luka can also operate in more one-on-one opportunities?
It's critical. It's critical for us. You know, for everyone that's on the court to be ready to attack, be in attack mode. Toronto caught us off guard. Toronto was the first team that did it, and we weren't prepared for it, obviously, because no one had did it all year. No one had played a boxing one, and then 2-3, they gave us a lot of different looks, and it kind of caught us off guard. And at first, we were really conservative. You know, guys weren't attacking. We was real passive. And once we kind of broke the ice and just started attacking, realized what they were doing, you know, things, you know, great things started happening. Well, I'm speaking more so on Indiana. We had a couple of days to scout. We knew that Indiana was probably going to do the same thing Toronto did, being that we lost that game. And, you know, Coach Carlisle and staff did a great job preparing us for yesterday. But it's critical, man. We're going to have to be ready to – guys are going to have to be ready to step in the open shot, to knock them down, shooting them with confidence. So, you know, tomorrow – I doubt we see that tomorrow. I think we played it so well yesterday. But, you know, you never know. I think we're prepared for whatever they throw.
Well, obviously, we'll be wishing you best of luck tomorrow night. But since you value loyalty, I want to make sure you know, going back to 2013 when our show was first really getting started, me and Corey both tried to convince the Mavericks to trade up and pick you up after in the draft after that run with Michigan. So,
for sure,
I promise you. So the second that belt is yours and we keep winning these games, we want to have you back, man.
I'll be back on here as soon as I do it. So hopefully it's sooner than later.
Well, hell yeah. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.